We thank you, O God, for this time of worship. We're grateful, Lord, that you have placed us in a position in life that allows us to worship you freely. I pray in Jesus' name that tonight your will be done in our midst. Give us a thirst and a hunger for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. All right. Please be seated. Amen. All right. We thank God for a powerful time of worship in His presence. Amen. It's important that we worship the Lord. Amen. It's a very, very, it's never, you see, it must never be looked upon as something we do while we are waiting, or something we do just to occupy the first part of the service. Do you see? Before the preaching. Do you understand? When you read the Bible, you will find that there was actually a day when they were dedicating the temple that the Bible says the people were in worship. And because they were in worship and such intense worship, the Bible says there was no need for the priests to minister. They could not. Do you see? The priests could not stand to minister because the glory of the Lord had filled the place. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is a very important thing to know that God's presence answers to worship. When you call His name, when you worship Him, He arises and comes to answer that worship. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. That means He lives in the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. That means when people praise Him, God shows up in a way that He didn't exist around them. Do you understand? Yeah, I mean, to inhabit something means you were not in it before. Isn't it? Yeah, so it is a very, very important aspect of our service that we worship and minister to the Lord. Amen. Now, many of us find worship times boring, either because we don't like the song that's being sung, or we ourselves. I guess what I want to say rather is that when we find ourselves enjoying the worship, it is often because we like the song that's being sang. Do you understand? And therefore, when we don't like the song that's being sang, regardless of what the song is saying, then we do not have much to offer in terms of worship. Hallelujah. But I tell you that if we would worship the Lord and, you know, seek Him, do you understand? God will arise in your life in a way that will not even be necessary to hear preaching. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. The verse I'm talking about is 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 11. The Bible says in verse 10, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. You know, actually, let's read this other one in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, it came to pass, verse 13, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. to make one sound to be heard in prison and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, say they praised the Lord. They praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever." When they praised the Lord, do you see? Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God's presence arose in the place in such a way, God said, "I'm going to do the preaching myself. No need for the priests." So the priests were all retired on that day, and the Lord dealt with the people himself. Amen. So I want to encourage you always to look forward to the worship and to participate in the worship. It's not a time for moving around. It's not a time for talking and texting. It's not a time for doing other things. It's a time for connecting in a very personal way with the Lord. Amen. And you'll be amazed that if you learn to do this, your life will be transformed very, very significantly. Hallelujah. It is when people worship the Lord that they are changed. Transformations occur in the presence of the Lord when you worship him. Amen. The Bible says when we behold the glory, we are changed to the image of his Son. Amen. Right. So I'm sort of sharing with you tonight along these lines. Amen. And I am continuing to share with you. There's a verse that caught my attention, and I want to start from there. It is from the book of John, chapter 12. Very short message I want to share with you tonight. Amen. And I bring you greetings from the Caribbean, from Jamaica, and what's the other place? St. Lucia. Amen. Yeah. All right. Now, look at this, John chapter 12 and verse 21. It's a very interesting verse which caught my attention, and I thought I would share it with you. The same came to Philip. If you want to, you can read from the verse before, verse 20. It says there are some people who came, you know, certain Pharisees. Do you have it? Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Hallelujah. They came and they saw one of the main guys around Jesus, one of the main representatives of Jesus. Hallelujah. They saw one of the main representatives of Jesus, one of the main doorways or one of the main access points to Jesus. Did the door close or something? This one. Okay, that's fine. So one of the main access ways to Jesus. And rather than stop there, they told him that the person we really want to see is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I was thinking that really, that is how it ought to be. That no matter which of God's representatives you meet, your real vision must be to see Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That no matter how good the preacher is, no matter how great the pastor is, no matter how interesting he is, or interesting to listen to he is, The ultimate vision must be we would see Jesus. Do you understand? When you are coming to church, your mind must be, sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus is the one we want to see. Hallelujah. And I realize that there are many of us who, over time, over a period of belonging to the church, have sometimes lost track of what we really want or what we really should be looking for. Do you see? But these guys came and they said, you know, Philip, I know you are great and it's good to see you. But the real person would like to see is Jesus. Hallelujah. We must seek the Lord and not seek the church. Hallelujah. This is the house of the Lord. But sometimes, you know, the activities in the church, the people in the church can often obstruct our view or vision of the person because of whom we have come. Many people come to the house of the Lord and never meet the Lord of the house. They come to the house of the Lord, they meet the people of God, they meet the man of God, but they never meet God himself. Do you understand? They are disconnected from God himself. They just come to celebrate the traditions and celebrate the I don't know whether to call them rituals or routines. Do you see? A little bit of fast singing, a little bit followed by a little bit of slow singing, and then a little singing from the choir, and then comes the man of God, whatever he says, and then let's share the grace quickly. Some people can't even wait for the grace to be over because they saw some chicken, you know, on the kitchen counter on their way into the service, and they are so glad they made it today. But not because they want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. But I want to share with you tonight that God wants us to seek him. Amen. God wants us to seek him. Some people are even distracted sometimes by the things that God would do. Some people come to God because of what God can do for them. But many times when you see someone very actively pursuing the Lord, often it is because he has something else in mind. He wants the Lord to do something for him. Do you see what I'm saying? And so sometimes our needs drive us after God. You see? And yet it's not him we seek. It is what he can do. Hallelujah. Is everything okay over here? Huh? You see what I'm saying? So sometimes the needs we have, sometimes the difficulties in our lives, sometimes the challenges and so on, they send us after God. Now, while I will be grateful for anything that sends me after God, is it not also possible that we would seek God without pressure from the things that drive us to him? Do you see what I'm saying? Would you not prefer someone who wants you for you rather than someone who wants you for what you can do? Yeah, or what you can give them. Is it not the case? So you see, look in the Bible, John chapter 6. The book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We read the scriptures. And John chapter 6. And verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is of the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Hallelujah. So again, here, look at people who are following Jesus, but they are not like that first group, the say we would see Jesus group. The Bible says they were following him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Hallelujah. They wanted to see the miracles, you know. Now, when you read on, you're going to find that Jesus performed another miracle by multiplying bread and so on for them to eat. Then, in chapter, the same chapter, verse 24, he says, the following day, or from verse 22, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. Verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Do you get it? Yeah. So they came and they said they were looking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Then he goes on to tell them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Hallelujah. So then they asked him a question. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? You say we are not interested in God and the work of God and all these things. So now we're asking you, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Hallelujah. But I want you to see that God seems to be an analyzer, an assessor of the motives for which people come to him. God seems to notice what is on a person's heart. Why someone goes to church? Why someone is praying so fervently? Why is someone so regular? Is it because they love me for real? Or is it because they are looking for something? Do you understand? Is it because they are looking for me? Or is it because they are looking for a miracle? Hallelujah. Whatever it is, God seems to notice the difference. And in all the motives and all the different reasons people can have for serving the Lord, God wants the ultimate motive to be that you seek him. Hallelujah. God wants us to seek him. He must be the subject and object of our worship. He must be the one we are seeking, and our service and everything, our lives must be about him. You understand? God is not someone who features in our lives on Sunday mornings and Tuesday evenings. God doesn't want to be that kind of God. God doesn't want to be someone who features in your life during the time of trouble. When things are not as they should be, then you become very serious with your relationship with him. God doesn't want you to relate with him that way. God doesn't want you to relate with him because you are broke, or because, you know, things are not, you can't find a job, or because you're having marital difficulties, or because your children are becoming disobedient or stubborn or something like that. Do you understand? That's not That may lead you to God. You see, some of these things may lead you to God. And I think you should be grateful for anything that sends you to God. Do you see what I'm saying? Anything that sends you into His house, you should be grateful for it. But once you are there, your attention must be Him. God is the one we must seek. See, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Isn't it? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. So it looks like while you may be searching for a certain reward, the reward actually comes to those who seek Him, not those who seek the reward. Do you see what I'm saying? God is not a rewarder of those who seek rewards. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Hallelujah. When people search for God Himself, when people make their hearts go after God Himself, when people diligently want God Himself, look, in the day that you get to the place where you want God, where you can say, Lord, I thirst for you. When you can say that, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for you. Not for what you can do. Do you understand? My soul longs for you. In the day that you can say that, my soul longs for you. In the day when you begin to miss God. When you begin to feel like it's been a while. When you begin to feel like, I can't wait to go and pray. I can't wait to read my word. I can't wait to go to His presence. When you begin to have those feelings, I am telling you that you will be amazed at how many solutions to issues will pop up in your life that you did not pursue. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. God says the trigger for the reward is in seeking Him. Is not in seeking the reward. When people come to God seeking the reward, he's very quick to know it. So you can see, the verse we read, the Bible says that people were looking for Jesus. When He saw them, He said, you are looking for bread. Do you get it? I'm sure the people were surprised. Some of the people around Him must have been surprised that He was able to read through or see through their motives very so quickly. You know, it says they came, they said in verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found Him on the other side, you see, the verse says they came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Do you understand? That is how it looked to everybody else. But when Jesus sees them, and begins to talk, He tells them, you are looking for bread. In fact, if there was a bakery here, you would probably just stop right here. Do you understand? Because what you are really after is a bakery and not me. But because I made the bread the last time, you have come to where I am. But what you are looking for is bread, not me. It's a bakery you want. And the proof is that when you find a bakery, you don't come after me. And that is the truth. There are many people, once they begin to find answers and to their difficulties and to their challenges and so on. That is one of the reasons why people are not so interested in God around here. Some people feel that, you know, God is for people who have problems. So maybe if you live in a country or live in a place where, you know, there are so many problems, even water to bath is a problem. You get it? You have so many problems, you get it? Then you would sort of tend to look for God. That is how people think. You understand? But it's an error. God is not someone we seek because the light is off. God is not someone we seek because we don't have water. God is someone you seek regardless of your economic circumstances. Whether you live in a rich country or a poor country, God is God. God is not, you know, light is not a substitute for God. Having food to eat doesn't mean you have arrived. So that if you don't have food to eat, then you pursue God with strength and with zeal. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is a God that must be sought after. You understand? And sought after by those in need and those who do not have a need alike. And I'm saying that in the day that you will begin to seek God, in the day that God will see in your heart that you like Him, rather than what He does, you will be amazed at the things, the solutions, and the miracles that God is going to bring into your life. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, back up a little bit, and let me show you another verse. We're still in John chapter 6. You see, now go to verse 3. You know, Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now look at verse 5. When Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him. Do you get it? When He lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, then He, Jesus, said to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Can you see that? That it wasn't the making of the bread was not their idea. You see, they had not even come close enough to even say what they want. But as the people were approaching Him, He began to think in advance how to bless them and how to solve their problems and the difficult challenges and whatever it is that was going on in their life. They didn't even have to bring it up. That's why I'm saying that when God sees that you are interested in Him, He's going to be asking the angels, "When shall we open a door for this one to get a job? When shall we open a job for this one to have a beloved? When shall we open a door for this one to have this promotion? How shall we open this for this one to have this one to have that?" As He sees that your focus is on Him, the focus on God is what triggers the reward. He says He is a rewarder of those who diligently, that means those who are serious in their relationship with Him, those who want God in a serious way. Not those who are looking for an affiliation with a church. Not those who are coming to meet friends at the service. Do you see? Not those who are just coming because, you know, it's just, they've worked it into their routine, so they'll just be there anyway. Hallelujah. God wants us to seek Him because God looks in the heart. Hallelujah. God looks directly at the heart. The Bible says God does not see as man sees. Do you understand? God does not see as a human being sees. When you go to the airport and they were going through the security things, there are some people there who do not see as man sees. Do you understand? Yeah. So as you are walking around, a man cannot see that you have something in your pocket. But there's a guy there who does not see as man sees. You see, so after you have passed, you see, you take your bag. Man is impressed with the outward appearance. Sometimes you have a bag and then everybody in the line is staring at the bag. And they are looking at the bag and the bag looks very expensive and looks very nice. And they are wondering where you got it and they are planning to get one and so on. But not the guy who is sitting behind the screen. He's not impressed with where you got it from, what it costs and all that. He wants to see inside. His interest is in what is in the bag. And what he does with the bag after that depends on what he saw inside. So sometimes he sees something that should not be in the bag. And he says, "No, this bag is not going on the plane as it is. You need to check this. You need to remove this thing from your heart before you can come and pass through in this place. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God is a God who searches the hearts and knows what is in our hearts. Hallelujah. So I pray that we will all become people who seek God for Himself. People who seek Him rather than the reward. Because if we seek Him, He will give us the reward. He will think, as He sees you coming towards Him, He will start planning your reward even before you get to Him. Do you understand? I mean, as the people were approaching Jesus, they did not even know that He was preparing lunch for them. Do you see? It says, when Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And He said this to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Wow! He knew what He would do. He knew exactly what He would do about providing bread for these people. He knew just what He would do. Is it not comforting to know that God knows exactly what He would do about an impossible situation? Oh, He knows exactly what He would do. And what He would do is not as complex as you think. Hallelujah. It's not as complex. Philip and co, they found the whole process very cumbersome and complex. So one of them said, "Look, Lord, let everybody buy their own lunch. Everybody should go to their house. Send them away. We cannot make food for all these people." Then somebody came and said, "There's a little boy here. He has a little food. But look, what is it among so many people? What business is this? Don't do this. Just leave them alone." But the Bible says He Himself knew what He would do. Hallelujah. He knew what He would do. So I know that God knows what He would do. Amen. He knows what He would do about your life. He knows what He would do about your job situation. He knows what He would do about your visa situation. He knows what He would do about your beloved situation. He knows what He would do about your marriage. He knows what He would do about your kids. He knows what He would do about anything that plagues your life. Anything that has become a source of unhappiness, a source of deep thinking and constant worry, God knows just what to do. Do you understand? But God wants you to seek Him in spite of the problem. Hallelujah. God wants you to let your heart come after Him. Do you understand? Let your heart come after Him. Because when you seek Him, He will reward you. Hallelujah. And much of the reward will take care of that situation and that challenge that is before you. Hallelujah. The last verse I can think of is Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, there is a nice verse over there. Psalm 91, and I think it is verse 14 thereabout. Psalm 91, and verse 14. It says, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. I will, with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Hallelujah. Can you think of any one thing you can do in your life that can yield so many benefits at the same time? Huh? Can you think of any one thing that you can do in your life that can yield so many advantages and blessings? He said, "Because He has set His love upon me." Because His love has been set upon me, I have become the object of His love and of His fascination and of His obsession. You know, because of that, He says, number one, I will deliver him. Number two, I will set him on high. Number three, I will answer him. Number four, I will be with him in trouble. Number five, I will deliver him. Number six, I will honor him. Number seven, I will satisfy him. And number eight, I will show him my salvation. So why don't you go for this one thing that yields so much in dividends? Amen. Set your affection upon him. Amen. And seek him. Let the Lord be very important to you. Hallelujah. Let seeking the Lord be very high on your priority list. Let it be number one. The Bible says if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. We have to believe it. Amen. We have to believe it. That before you mention bread, the Lord has already discussed, you know, how to make bread for you. Do you understand that? It is not even you who brings up the issue that you are hungry. But it is the Lord who sees you coming. And as you are walking towards him, he's asking and conferring and planning how to get bread for you. Amen. Yeah. Jesus is thinking how to bake for you. See, then when they eat the bread, and the next time they come to him, then now he can tell the difference. So you see, now you are coming because of the bread. Before, you came because of me. But now, you are coming because when you came the first time, there was bread. Now your continual coming is no longer because of me, but because of the bread. Hallelujah. It's a pity that one favor or one blessing from the Lord can take our eyes off the Lord to that blessing, and we want more of it rather than what we did to get the first one. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I pray that God will make us all seekers of the Lord rather than seekers of the reward or of what he can do. Say amen. Amen. I think it's a good message. I finished. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So stand to your feet and let us pray. Amen. Let's sing, Lord, I thirst for you. I long to be in your presence. My soul will wait on you. Father, draw me near. Draw me near to the beauty of to be in your presence. My soul will wait on you. Father, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer to the beauty of your holiness. Sing it again. Lord, I thirst for you.
Lord, I thirst for you. And I long to be in your presence. My soul will wait on you.
Father, draw me near.
Father, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer to the beauty of your holiness.
Sing, I will wait on you.
I will wait on you. Almighty God, in the beauty of your holiness, I will worship you. Almighty God, in the beauty of your holiness,
I will wait.
Beauty of your holiness, I will worship you, Almighty God, in the beauty of your holiness.
In the beauty.
In the beauty of your holiness. In the beauty of your holiness.
Oh.
In the beauty of your holiness.
In the beauty of your holiness. Father, we thank you for your blessing and thank you for teaching us what you have taught us tonight. Thank you for teaching us to come after you. We pray, Lord, that you help us. Help us to seek you. Help us to be people whose hearts long and thirst for you, oh God, rather than longing and thirsting for breakthroughs, longing and thirsting for miraculous provisions. Help us to long and thirst for you, because you have promised that if we seek you, you will reward us, because you are a rewarder of people who diligently seek you. People who diligently seek you. People who search for God with seriousness and are diligent about it. You reward them. Even though it is not a reward they are looking for, they end up with a reward, because they sought God. So we pray that you will give us grace. Turn our hearts towards you, Lord. Turn our hearts away from everything that has come between us and you. Everything and anything that has distracted us and that has caused us to think more about that thing than you. Anything that occupies our minds and occupies our thoughts on a daily basis, occupying most of our day, consuming our thoughts most of the time, oh God, that has exalted itself above the knowledge of God, that has lifted itself up to replace God in our lives, I pray that all such things be cast down in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you shall reign in our thoughts. That you will be the center of our thoughts. And Lord, that everything will revolve around you. In the name of Jesus. We will love what you love. And we will hate what you hate. We will be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.